Joe and Mike back again. BuildAssetsOnline.com. Special episode today. Back at it with the live streams. And we're going to be talking about how to make $1,000 per month fast online. So if you're just tuning into the stream now, we're just going to get started. So here we go, Mike. We have several different criteria for how we're going to evaluate these different business models that we've chosen. And, you know, we have a bunch laid out, a handful laid out, and I'm sure some others are going to get thrown into the mix as well as we move forward. And, you know, maybe we get some chats and people want to hear about our take on different business models. So we're going to evaluate them on the time needed to get to $1,000 per month. And we're going to be talking about $1,000 per month profit, because there's $1,000 per month revenue and there's $1,000 per month profit, and they're both pretty different. We're going to talk about the amount of money you need to start, the long-term sustainability, the passivity, and should we talk about the ease as well? Like, you know, how many moving parts are there?
Speaking of ease.
Yeah, I think let's...
I guess that's kind of the big picture of it, right? Like, I would define ease as these four things you talked about. Time needed to get there, how much money you got to start, long-term sustainability, passivity. So you're saying just like level of difficulty type ease?
Yeah, like how many moving parts are there? Because, like, you know, for example, I feel like making a website and doing something super technical with the website, if that's required, then it's not that easy. So it could be fast for one person, but not fast for another. And we'll talk about that as well. So I guess ease is more like learning curve.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with that. Because, yeah, you know, we just put out that video with the ClickBank vice president. And I think a lot of the things that we talk about in there, and the point I was trying to make in the video, was that he makes a lot of these things seem easy with like affiliate marketing and stuff like that. But in reality, they're actually pretty hard. Mm-hmm. So I think we've done a good job of really giving people the easiest things to do to legitimately make money online and to build things that you can sell. Not just things, assets.
Yeah. So what do you want to start with first? What do you want to start with first? Should we start with dropshipping first just to get it out of the way?
Get it out there. Let the algorithm hear that we're talking about it. So people can come in and then we'll talk about something else.
All right. So high ticket drop shipping, if it's your first time watching, not AliExpress drop shipping, not S Pocket, not TikTok, high ticket drop shipping where you develop relationships with legitimate suppliers. So I'll say no more, Mike. What is the time needed to get to $1,000 profit per month?
1 month.
1 month. Now, would you say that that's going to happen for everyone, or is that an average? How up with that? Because honestly, I mean, we've seen that. We've seen lots of different stuff good, take place.
You just froze.
You just okay, froze. You okay. just froze.
You froze. So, we've I seen... guess in...
Go ahead.
For the majority of people, reality is no. They're not going to come in and they're not going to make $1,000 in their first month if they're starting from zero. Because there's too many little things that they need to get right. And we've talked about this time and time again. It's about the execution of it. You can give two different people the exact same instructions, have them do the exact same niche, whatever, and you can get two completely different outcomes depending on the execution. So realistically, the formula that we outline, 100% you can get to $1,000 a month in your first month, but there's just things that just learning curves people have to go through when they haven't done things before. I mean, we've talked about so many of the stupid things that we've done, even in terms of in the last interview we did with the ClickBank thing, you were talking about how you had that dog training course you were trying to market. Mm-hmm. And there were so many little things that like we didn't know how to do. You were probably just throwing the affiliate link out there, trying to like send people to a homepage. Like, you know, the execution was not on point.
Right. And it's the same with dropshipping, of course. You know, I'll be amazed. So our course content, we can give 10 different people our course content. And we get a wide range in terms of the spectrum of execution. Some people are going to execute it super well. You know, they come to us. Oh, I just secured my first suppliers. You know, I didn't even see the site, and then I'm like, wow, you know, that's a good angle. You know, you got your suppliers. Good job. Other people are going to get caught up on certain details. You know, they're going to come to us with a lot of different questions, questions that might not even be important, but they're just getting hung up on the details. So yeah, those are the type of things that is going to be a difference between making that first, that $1,000 a month quickly versus it taking a while. So, but I think getting to $1,000 per month profit, if we were to start a new dropshipping store right now, Mike, and we were to say this was going to be what we were going to do and we were going to put everything into it, like all of our mental energy and work 8 hours a day on it, I think we can get to $1,000 profit in a month.
Yeah, if we didn't, it would be pretty disappointing.
Yeah, there is the factor of sometimes the suppliers, you have to follow up with them a bunch of times to get on board. That could be a factor that could slow it down. But I think if we were to do this, the way it would work is we would have the website up in a day. We would have the product listing team, like we would say, like, be ready, because the listing, you know, the listings are going to start coming in soon. So we'd start making phone calls the second day. Preferably, we'd start on a Monday. By Friday, we'd have access to some catalogs. We'd have access to some price lists and something like that. The product listings would start rolling. The ads would start. And I would say by week three, we're going to be getting a decent amount of traffic and start making some sales. Is that a reasonable time frame, would you think?
Absolutely. And the point I wanted to make was that there are 24 hours in a day. And with, you know, ourselves, our students, the amount of time that one person is going to spend on doing a particular business versus someone else may vary. Someone may take our course and then never look at it for 4 months and then come in and then start asking questions then. Or someone may just literally go through the whole thing in one day and start doing things immediately. And so in terms of timeline, obviously that has a big effect, how much time of your day you're right. willing to put in.
Right. So what's a good amount of money to start, Mike? I would say you don't need $5,000 to start, but $5,000 is a nice cushion to have. I would say $3,000 to $5,000, just so you can buy the products, you know, get them shipped out without, you know, worrying or anything like that.
Yeah, it's a good cushion. I think we started with a similar amount, maybe even less. I don't know.
We started with like $2,000 in the account.
Okay.
So.
And there you go.
But maybe we got lucky. Okay. Long-term sustainability of high-ticket dropshipping, Mike. I would say, okay, in terms of a lot of the other business models out there that we're going to discuss, I would say the long-term sustainability is high. And what I mean, probably has a good 5 to 10 years ahead of it. There would have to be some major changes to the internet for it to impact the long-term sustainability. I don't know. I mean, I feel like 5 to 10 years is a good window for that to happen.
Right. So the question more specifically is, do we expect this to be around and kicking and still a very viable opportunity in the next decade?
Right.
And so with dropshipping, yeah, I would agree that that's certainly there. If we look at past decades, people were doing it. And this day and age, maybe competition has increased, but technology has also increased. Because 10 years ago, people were using, you know, like Yahoo stores and all sorts of, internet was just like bad back then. Now we have phones that are, you know, super fast and it's just becoming, it's integrating into the economy more than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what, Mike, is it fair to say that competition has increased? Because I feel like on one hand, yes, it has. But on the other hand, we've seen people that do really well with dropshipping and then they leave the space to pursue something else. Or, you know, for example, we had a student that got a huge, huge exit on his one of his dropshipping stores and now is pursuing land full time. We knew another guy who was a bit more on the, I don't know a good word for him, but like he was one of our colleagues back in the day and he was doing really well with his dropshipping stores too. He would run it on like an hour a day. Like he didn't even answer phone calls or anything. But then he just gave them all up to do crypto. So yeah. I feel like with a lot of different opportunities swirling around, you have experienced people leaving the space just because they're bored or whatever, or they think, you know, that's something going to be bigger and better. So
yeah, the bigger and better thing is, I would agree with you, Joe, because yeah, you know, you could say realistically, all right, more people find out about dropshipping and try and get into it. more and more as years go on. But you have people, number one, that will like fail and then try and do something else and just leave altogether or switch niches or who knows what. You have people that succeed and then, you know, it's kind of a gateway drug where they don't want to be dropshipping all the time because it has its pros and its cons. So they'll move on. So, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe there is more competition, but I hate bringing up competition because it gives people like the mindset that, oh, you know, it's too late. When meanwhile, you know, if the sooner they get into it, the sooner they'll realize that it's not really the case. And, you know, you'll be thankful that you did.
Yeah. Competition is kind of like a highway. Like sometimes the highway can be, there's a traffic jam, but people are getting on and off the highway all the time. And you have some expert drivers coming on. You have some noobs coming on, people getting off. So yeah, it's the competition can vary. So
I want to keep going on this because the more I think about people that were successful dropshipping, the more I think about how not a lot of them still even do it. Like our friend who had the site that he couldn't run ads to because it was not very ad friendly.
Well, he still does it though.
I don't know if he still does the high ticket website.
Okay. Last we talked to him, he's like, he hates his store. He's got a ridiculous store. No one's going to, no one is going to do the store that he has, and I don't recommend it, but he hates his store because of the clientele. But anyway, last we talked to him, he still does it.
Okay. There was the other person who, tried to say, emulate, what we teach and what we do. They no longer are in the space.
Who knows? But maybe.
Despite having a six-figure exit.
Yeah.
I don't think they still do it anymore. But, yeah, I mean, just a case in point, like, and even if people are really successful and they have a really nice store, it's really easy for them to sell it. And then all of a sudden, where they may have been locking down that entire niche, making it really hard for everyone else to succeed. They sell the store, and then the person that takes over the store completely screws it up. Now it's wide open again.
Oh, absolutely. And that happened with one of our stores. You know, one of the ones that I think actually leaked out to our group members. It's changed hands multiple times. And now, I don't know how many times it's changed hands, but from what we've heard through the grapevine is that it's been mismanaged into the ground now. When it was a shining beacon of light at one point.
Yeah, to the point that, you know, it's not even, I don't even know if it's still functional, operational, or taking payments.
Yeah,
so
it's only one way to find out.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, we sold it, you know, that website was worth multi six figures, and just mismanagement. Now it's not. So, yeah, shall we move on? What was the other point we're trying to get at?
Passivity.
Is dropshipping passive?
We did a whole separate
video
on that.
This, didn't we?
Yeah, let's skip that one. We did a whole video on this. Ease, how many moving parts? I would say, you know, it's not highly technical compared to some other things. However, I would say you do have to be well organized. You have to, especially in the beginning, you know, be willing to follow up or whatever. You know, stay organized, especially at the beginning, and keep track of what's going on. So not highly technical, but you gotta pay attention.
So I'd give it a 3 in terms of difficulty.
3 out of 5 or 3 out of 10?
3 out of 10.
Okay. All right. Moving on. So let's talk about land, flipping land. Mike, I don't have much to say here because I don't really do that much of it yet. But, I mean, I guess I did in the beginning. And, well, first of all, what's the time needed to get to $1,000?
2 months.
2 months?
I would say just to send mail out is going to take 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you figure out, you know, what you're going to do, you learn everything, you get your pricing done, you send your mail out, you're ready basically a month in. Actually, maybe I'll extend this out. Maybe it's more than 2 months because you got to basically send that out, find the properties you're going to buy, put them into title, acquire the property, and then resell it, and then go through the closing process again. So you're looking at maybe 4 months 3 to 4 months, depending on how you do it.
Yeah, and from when we got started with it, I remember, yeah, there was quite a few moving parts in the beginning. I don't know how much of what we did was necessary, but like we had to, you know, basically set up a mailbox to be able to get mail. We had to set up a website. You know, we did a couple different things to make the business look more legit. We did, you know, a Google My Business. We had the mailbox was like the physical location and all that kind of stuff. How much of that was necessary? Like, how much of that is necessary now that you're more experienced with it?
Well, those types of things, once you set them up, they're done forever. So,
right. But we're talking first month though, like someone, you know, getting started, like is that going to eat up a significant amount of time? Cause remember, it was just us doing it. Like it was us two doing all those initial steps. If you come in and you're like the only one doing it, and then you have to find the properties, you have to get, you know, send the letter, and you have to do all that other stuff. Would you still say 2 months is reasonable?
Well, that's why I changed it to 3 to 4 months.
Okay.
Because I'll give a whole month just to get the business set up and get the first pieces of mail out.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect. And then if you're lucky, you know, you could acquire a property, you know, a couple of weeks after you identify it and then put it up, has to sit there for a couple of weeks and then resell it. That, you know, that closing process can take another couple of weeks. So 3 to 4 months, I would say. But I think the ability is there to make a lot more than $1,000. Just from that one transaction, that first transaction, but we'll get into that.
Right. So you can make a couple thousand in the first transaction, even though it took you 3 or 4 months, you know, maybe you're already close to $1,000 per month territory. But so what would you say a good amount of money is needed to start?
Right. So this also depends on the amount that you want to shoot for in terms of your monthly goals. Right. So,
well, $1,000 to get to $1,000.
Right. So if you want to make $1,000, I mean, that's pretty easy. You could probably buy something for, you know, $2,000, sell it for $5,000. And then after everything is said and done, the data, the mail, et cetera, maybe you're left with, you know, $1,000 to $2,000. So yeah, if you start with $2,000, that works out. Or, I mean, you know, there's people out there that will pay for your deals if it's a good deal. So, you know, we will do this. We'll fund people's deals. People fund our deals. So if you could shoot for a deal that you make $10,000, $20,000 on, and you don't have to pay for it, you just have to pay for the mail. And then once that's done, you collect that, you know, $5,000 check. So overall, I would say you need to start with, I think that the $2,000 to $5,000 range is good just because it gives you plenty of money to, you know, you can pay someone to get your website done, send mail out, and have enough properties to pick from to where you can go with a good deal versus like trying to force something because you're out of money. These are the only deals you have in.
Right. Okay. So what would you say in terms of passivity or sorry, long-term sustainability? I'm amazed that, you know, as an outsider looking in with this land stuff, I always get the sense that like next year, like there's going to be no land left. You know, Bill Gates is buying it all. Like how is this going to work? But I don't have that. That's just my perspective on it, like as a someone that doesn't really know what's going on.
There's so many pieces out there, there's so many parcels, and I saw that number recently, but it's, you know, in the tens and tens of millions. So
wait, tens of millions of parcels out there
of pieces of vacant land? Yeah.
Wow.
I think the scope of it is way beyond what we can conceive.
Okay.
So I would say it's probably one of the most sustainable things that you can do, because you got to think about, you know, availability, but you also have to think about like the buyer pool is not static, because someone may not want to sell this year, but next year something comes up and maybe someone passes away or, you know, whatever happens in someone's life. Now all of a sudden they become a seller, they get a piece of mail, or maybe they had a piece of mail, they go back to it and they, you know, call you and say, hey, I want to move forward on this property.
Right.
So that's happening. Property is changing hands. So I would say this is very, very sustainable because it's not reliant on, you know, exploiting different technologies.
Right. And people are always doing different stuff with it, right? So it's not like you can just buy the, you don't have to just buy the land and flip it. You can buy the land and, you know, develop it, put a mobile home on it, do like a glamping type situation. You know, you put up some sort of tent, some sort of thing. So people are always doing different things with it, right?
Cash flowing the property too is also a great option in terms of especially making $1,000 a month.
Mm. So like renting it, what do you mean by that?
Like owner financing, like we do for some properties,
mm-hmm.
right? So we have a property, we bought it for $5,000 and then we resold it for say $12,000 on terms. So the person put $5,000 down. So we make our initial money back and now they pay us $230 a month for like 3 years.
Right.
And we own the property until they fully pay us off.
Right.
So people will just do that so that they'll be sending the mail out and they're looking to do specific deals where like they can buy the property, make a good chunk of their money back on the down payment of the terms or make more than their money back. And now they're just, you know, getting these passive income payments. And this is really, really passive because it's like being a landlord, but you're not overseeing a building or, you know, having to hear about problems or having to bring in a management company. You just collect the payment each month until it's paid off, and then that's it.
Excellent, excellent. So passivity, we kind of covered there. Well, we didn't really cover it. So,
well, to bring that home, so if with the terms option, it's very, very passive. Because once you build it to $1,000 a month, let's say, then you could just kind of sit there and you know what you're bringing in each month. So you don't have to necessarily do anything to keep that going. Whereas if you're doing it the flipping way, you can make more upfront, but there is way more active roles you have to have because you have to do all the data work. You have to send the mail out. You have to field the calls. You have to approve the deals. And so that requires you to be there. But again, the earnings per hour you get out of that is pretty good. So one side is passive, one side is not that passive.
Right. All right, so Ease, how many moving parts are there? Because, you know, I was more involved in the beginning, and I got to say, I'm a little bit clueless as to, it's probably less than I'm thinking, but like in terms of dealing with the counties and the title stuff, how easy are these moving parts to manage and like what's the learning curve?
I would say this has a really high learning curve, and it's not that it can cause failure necessarily, but like I think now I really get everything to where I can get in a property and I can know what I have to find out before I know if it's a good deal or not. But in the beginning you really don't know that, so it kind of winds up you have to take more time and like really figure out things. So I mean, I would say the learning curve here is about a 6 or a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Because yeah, there's just so many things that there's so many moving parts to it. You got to look at the piece. You got to make sure that it has the right attributes. You got to make sure that it's going to sell for what you think it's going to sell for. You might have to get a second opinion on that from a broker. You have to find someone to do the title work. There's a lot of little things that have to happen there. And then you know, on the resale side, it's also a set of different things. So. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to figure out in the beginning, but now it's autopilot.
Okay, cool. So moving on to the next item, you know, we had some other stuff on the list, stuff we usually talk about, the content sites and Kindle and whatnot, but I want to throw a wrench in real quick. I want to talk about the type of affiliate marketing that we were discussing on our last interview with the ClickBank guy, Dominic Keenan. So basically how I'm defining this as affiliate marketing using something like ClickBank, and it goes as follows. It goes paid traffic, collect email, promote offer, and do that profitably. And you're building an email list in the process. So Mike, and in terms of the paid traffic, you could do Facebook ads. You could do, you know, all basically any sort of paid traffic method on the internet, Facebook ads, display ads, Taboola, you know, the those are the things you see in the bottom of articles, like, oh, this eliminates toenail fungus in 2 seconds. So stuff like that, to an email list, to promoting a profitable offer. And a lot of the offers that you see in this space, they could be anything from supplements, survival outdoors, relationships, making money. So it's a lot of those like hard hitting, what they refer to as, oh shit, niches, health, wealth, relationships. So yeah. How difficult do we think this is, or how long to make $1,000 do it to in, with this process?
How long did it take us?
6 years.
5 years.
Well, but to be fair, I feel like we didn't really have any good instruction on it. I mean, I feel like we were trying to piece together a lot of the things. Like, okay, so when we were trying to do this method, I remember I was specifically promoting a thing called Doggy Dan's dog training on ClickBank, and I was using Facebook ads to build a list, and you know, I had a sequence and like a landing page or whatever, but I was piecing this all together from like a generic course from Digital Marketer, which I feel like it didn't really get into the specifics I needed. I had some of the principles in mind. I didn't fully grasp them, but I feel like, I don't know, I could have gotten better instruction on it.
This is where it all comes down to execution. Like with the dropshipping stuff, we talk about execution, but I've seen people just totally screw up on dropshipping and they still made $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. I say this all the time. I go into people's ad accounts, they screw like everything up and they're still making sales. With this, if you screw up, it's very, very, very unlikely to work out profitably for you.
Yeah.
Because if we think about the dog training thing, if we're doing, like you said, paid advertising to email to the offer, number one, it's about how much money you're going to make if someone buys that. Dropshipping, high-ticket dropshipping is so great because you can make $1,000, make several hundred dollars, and that really offsets any poor execution.
Right.
With this, you may not, you know, you're probably going to make $100 or less.
Well, it probably won't be profitable.
I'm just saying the commission's going to be $100 or less.
Right, right.
And it's not something that someone necessarily needs most of the time. I mean, people could be in need for it. It's not like a sink where someone's like, all right, I need a freaking sink. They search sink. They, you know, see you and they just buy the sink.
You're trying to make someone make an impulse buy versus a buy that they've planned and researched. And they
right.
decided
that person has decided they need a sink way before they know about you. Right. Whereas with this, it's like you have to show them that they need what you're about to sell them.
Right.
And this is all execution.
Right. And it gets
so
very difficult.
Yeah. So those two things combined, the amount of money per the amount of commission you get per affiliate sale and what we just talked about. I don't know how you would define it in short terms. Yeah, it makes it a little bit difficult. And so if you're a master email lead generation person, maybe you can do it because you're going to think of something that's really cool and unique that you can do to get people's email. And it may not just be, you know, the generic free ebook. It may be you're going to give them
the credit card knife that the guy talked about.
Like the credit card, yeah. So in the last interview, we talked about someone was doing this method of paid traffic to email capture, to, you know, email marketing a thing. And in exchange for the email, they were giving away basically a $2 credit card knife. So they had to come up with that themselves. So that's a sign of like a master level type execution. No one's just going to think of that.
No, no.
So all that to say, I think it's relatively difficult to do that. You could, for the Doggy Dan thing, you could maybe say, hey, I'm going to give you, you know, a pinch collar that's guaranteed to correct this behavior, or, you know, we'll give you your money back. I'd like the offer has to be really, really strong.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the offer, we talk about execution, we talk about how good the offer is.
Yeah. And not only is it, so you have to not only be good at crafting an offer, you have to be good at copywriting. you have to be good at generating traffic, generating paid traffic, and how all that works. So there's a million things you have to be good at to get this kind of thing right. So in terms of time needed to $1,000, if you already know what you're doing and you're the guy that came up with the credit card knife, you could probably make $1,000. You know, that's nothing. You can do that with in a couple days. But if you're not that person, you may never get to that $1,000 a month. You might lose a lot of money.
Right, and that's why I hate when people use this as like some sort of introductory thing to internet marketing. Because it's like the hardest thing you could do.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Versus selling a sink, you don't need copy to convince someone why they need that sink. It's just, you just give them the sink.
Yeah.
So, good amount of money to start.
Well, hold on. Someone left a funny comment. XOXO Shy Lang. Crazy how this side of YouTube doesn't get enough love. It's free game type shit. I don't know what that means, but that's funny.
He's saying we're giving out game for free.
Okay, cool. This side. Which side of YouTube are we on?
I don't know which side of YouTube we're on. The dark side. We're in like a crevice somewhere. Not for long. Not for long. We're going to be on the next stage.
We might be going mainstream soon, guys, so be careful.
Yeah, enjoy it. Enjoy it now. If you're like, hey, build assets online, sold out.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to sell out soon. Okay. Long-term sustainability of this.
Did we answer the question? Amount of money?
Oh, a good amount of money to start? Yeah. I would say...
I don't even know what the answer is.
I would say if you want to execute... If you're someone that's going to execute at a high level, you already have deep pockets to do it. And if you're not, then you need deep pockets to do it. I don't know if that makes sense, but... That's how
this is the type of thing where it's like, if someone's good at this, they have a lot of money because they have done it multiple times and they know how to do it, but they're going to be able to put out that ad and start making return right away.
Yeah.
Difference is if you suck at it, putting out the ad is like not going to help you get to where you want to go. It's just going to become sunk cost.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's why people quit. And we've talked about this so many times. Again, I'll take it back to like, take it back to dropshipping. When you're putting out ads for the sink, it's like you can screw up in the sense that like maybe you spent too much money on mobile, or like you didn't have enough like Kohler sink, you didn't have enough branded terms. But it's all compounding over time where you can correct your mistakes, you can course correct. If you're doing the Doggy Dan thing and you just put out like a shit offer and you're targeting the wrong audience, like there's so much wrong there that it's impossible to course correct, so that the money you're spending, it's just literally going into Zuckerberg's freaking crypto account. Just going into the metaverse. Because yeah. You're never going to actually be able to course correct that, and you're never going to be able to learn from it.
Yeah. Okay. let's see. Oh, we were talking about long-term sustainability. Again, I feel like if you know what you're doing with this in terms of being able to build a list profitably, I think the long-term sustainability of it is very high. If you have all those skills in general to be able to do this, I think you're going to be set for a very, very long time. But yeah.
I think not only will you be set for life skill set wise, but you can probably do so well with this that like you can just make so much money so quickly that you could just basically screw off for long periods of time and then just come back and do it again. And we're not at this level with this stuff. Like,
no,
I think we're still pretty new about it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like our biggest, so it's a bit difficult because like when we have our own course, obviously Build Assets Online, you know, it's more easy because like it's us and like we actually do, you know, all these business models that we talk about. So it becomes easy to talk about. So I feel like we don't have to have like the perfectly crafted copy or anything for people to want to buy the course. But you know, the truth is, and I'm actually not condoning this, I would never like promote like some of these supplements that people do for affiliate. I think it's like ridiculous, but you know, probably unethical in a lot of cases. But when you're trying to sell a supplement that like is not going to do anything, that no one needs, you know, you have, it's a much bigger hill to climb than like actually believing in something and talking about it, I'd say.
Right. Yeah. It's easy for us because it's just, we just come up here and we just talk about it every day and it does a number of things. If I was Doggy Dan and I was trying to sell my Doggy Dan dog training, kit, I would just come up as Doggy Dan and just start showing people how I do, you know, train these dogs. And just by doing that, you're going to make money.
Right. But if I was an affiliate for Doggy Dan, I'm just saying, like, it's going to be really difficult for me if I don't have a dog to.
Exactly. That's the point I'm making. Right. So it's like, how do you, as not Doggy Dan, as someone who's not going to, can't demonstrate like the value of what you're trying to sell, go in and create enough value and demonstrate enough trust to create the buy.
Right. Now, a lot of these affiliates on ClickBank, they do have affiliate centers where they put up, you know, this, all the things that you need, hypothetically. You know, they'll give you free ebooks, they'll almost make the offer for you, and then it's your job to get the traffic. So it's not always necessary, I would say, but it comes back again to, it's a lot easier to, if you know how to talk, like we know how to talk about what we talk about because we've done it and we do it. So it's just super easy. And like, I'm just being myself in right. a way. So and
Aaron made a good point here. He said, I started with the affiliate stuff way more difficult. Took me at least 6 months to make any money. Plus you never know when you'll get banned. And so like getting banned is probably, I think, a big part of the paid affiliate traffic situation. Like we were just looking on one of the ClickBank courses and it was like how to do a Facebook thing without getting banned. So clearly that's a pain point of affiliate marketers is getting banned. So
Right.
That can affect sustainability as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Again, you know, starting out, you're doing something, maybe you feel like you're making progress, boom, you get banned. So
right. Yeah. And we were having a meeting about this yesterday with one of our sites that promotes a ClickBank product. It's in the relationship niche. And, you know, we were talking, I feel like there's so much on, like, there's a lot we could do with it, but like, we don't really, you know, we're kind of just, there's a lot of guesswork that we don't really know what to do exactly, which is kind of, you know, you would think, oh, we have all this experience, but like, we still don't know what to do exactly, how to improve it. I know there's a lot of improvement to be had. I just don't know the exact steps.
Right. For us to do it, it would require us, you know, devoting a lot more energy to it. Well, right now we have that energy going towards a bunch of other things that we already know how to do. So that becomes the internet marketer's paradox.
Yeah. Sure. All right. So I think we've said enough about this one. Passivity. Again, I think the rest of the criteria can all be answered with the same thing, that it really depends on your knowledge and experience, which is hard to come by. Hold on. I just want to go back to the chat for a second. Like he said, this guy says the financial side gets censored on YouTube. I don't know. Maybe. I don't think we're getting censored. I think there's people.
I think we just suck.
Yeah, I think we just suck. Joel Davies, I've been binging your content and saving for your course. I have a question about LLCs. Do you get a sales and tax registration in all states or just your LLC state? Well, you know, you have to consult your CPA on this, but you're not going to start out, you know, registering your business in all states. I would say that's something, you know, you should look into when you actually are making sales. You know, you're not just going to open a business and register in every state out of the gate, you know. You know, the Nexus laws, things are always changing. So you definitely want to consult your CPA, but you know, there are thresholds for states. So
yeah,
you don't have to worry typically about that starting.
Yeah. Typically you wind up just being registered in the one state you're literally in.
Yeah. I mean, but there's 50 states, but you know, you're going to have to be doing a lot of sales to hit the thresholds, but you don't have to let it stop you from starting. But again, consult your CPA on that. I mean, I'm saying it shouldn't stop you from starting, but.
Right. So we're going to move on to another business model. So which one you want to talk about? Content sites?
Yeah, we can talk about content sites. I feel like it kind of plays into the affiliate thing in a way, but in a way it doesn't, because it's more about being good at getting organic traffic than it is about buying paid traffic. And to me, organic traffic, it can be a little bit more difficult to obtain, like technically, like anyone can start a Facebook ad tomorrow and get a lot of traffic. You know, they might not be the right traffic or whatever, but like organic traffic is one of those things where once you get it, you know, you should have it for a while and it should be free for a while. So there's a lot less cost, you know, going into it. So you can promote a lot of affiliate offers through organic traffic much more easily than you can with paid traffic.
Well, let's talk about time needed to get to $1,000 a month with a content site.
Oof. I would say 8 months to a year.
I would disagree.
What would you say?
What if that content site is tied to a dropshipping site?
Then maybe a little shorter. Then maybe a little shorter. I would still say you need 6-7 months, I would say, for the traffic to start to ramp up. Because you're not just getting...
I wouldn't disagree, yeah, for the traffic to ramp up. But with a dropshipping site, theoretically, you know, you only need to get maybe one sale a month to make that 1,000 on that that organic traffic.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, the ramp up may not happen until the 6 month period, but you may start getting some trickle ins after 4 months. You know, it may be enough to get you that sale.
I would say that if you have the right product here, and if I wanted to throw like a Hail Mary or something and try and make a content site that's going to make $1,000 per month in 3 or 4 months, I would find the most expensive, like longest tail unique thing that I could come up with and that no one else is going for specifically, you know, make some content on it and then get the dropship, you know. I would probably start it on the Shopify site, to be honest with you, just so I had everything hooked up and then contact the suppliers. But yeah, that would be what I would do. I would find like something over $10,000, like something crazy that I know is not going to be gone after by a lot of affiliate sites or gone after by anyone really. And then put the content out there. And, you know, even if I get a few high intent trickle ins after 3 or 4 months and it results in a sale, boom. There you have it.
Not bad. And you know, it's not that 4 months is 4 to 6 months or even 8 months is bad, because it has different benefits. Like, I mean, we'll get into that as we continue on here. So amount of money to start.
Well, if you're going to get the content written for you, then I would say you need about, you know, $50 to $100 per article, depending on how competitive it is. But if you're going to write the content yourself, it obviously that doesn't cost anything. So there's a bit of a spectrum there.
Everything is a spectrum. Could be, yeah. So, I mean, it could range from, say, if you do 20 articles, $10 an article, or sorry, $100 an article, that is $2,000. Or it could be $0 if you write it yourself and you're just paying for hosting and WordPress, whatever. And so pretty minimal, couple hundred bucks at most. So that's a plus.
Yeah.
Long-term sustainability.
If you're looking to rank organically, you know, I honestly want to say right now we're looking at a good 5-year sustainability at least. But, you know, the search engines are things that I think are – they have some volatility to them, not only in the way that they do their rankings, but – Just in the environment, like you have, you know, Alexa and all this kind of thing doing like voice search. You know, Alexa, tell me the best sinks to buy. These sinks are available on Amazon, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel like the long-term sustainability is good, but also I don't know what the future holds. I feel like there could be a disruptive technology that can hinder this. I don't know.
You could maybe say the same thing about Google Ads, though.
Right, but that's Google's like...
Well, that's gonna agree, because there's not going to be like algorithm updates that are going to kind of slam you down because it's pay to play. But, you know, they are introducing like the free shopping listings, which I don't even understand. And like, you know, they're changing things all the time, and coupled with like Alexa and these voice searches and mobile and like stuff like that, it does change the environment. But yeah, I mean,
you're right. I feel less scared about volatility with ads, because that's how Google makes their money at the end of the day. So I feel like there's less, you know, if you look at the Google search results, you can see Google's always trying to creep in more and more, like in terms of getting people to click the ads and not the organic results. So, mm-hmm. you know, if anything, that's the direction they're moving in. So,
but I would also say in the example you talked about before, you're going to find something that's really not a lot of people are going after, do something really long tail. That would probably be the situation where you're most protected, because when there's a lot of people jostling for like the top four positions in the organic results, then yeah, like one little algorithm change, if it bumps you from say position one to position four, you're looking at a significant drop potentially in traffic and therefore earnings. Right. But if you're doing the more long tail stuff that not really anyone else is doing, you're the only horse in the race. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to really bump you out.
Right. Right. But if, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if people are advertising for it, then you know, those people are going to show up first, obviously. But again, yeah, if you get long tail enough, then you should be all right.
Right. And at the end of the day, Google's business is still to provide value for the searcher. It's not like everything that they do is just like, you know, it's paid and it's shit. Right. Like they want it to be paid and they want it to be good. Otherwise, number one, they're going to charge you more. But like if they're giving you like shit results, people are going to not want to use the product, and it's going to hurt, you know, their market share, and then it's going to bring their stock down. It's like they have a lot of incentive, I think, to keep the best results up and you know, still go for like organic search things if it provides a good customer experience. Yeah. So I just wanted to point that out, that it's not like all downhill and, you know, total, corporatization and pay to play.
Right. But they do get a lot of their stuff. Like they scrape people's sites to provide content on the Google search result. So over time, they're providing less and less incentive for people to click through, so that people stay on Google and click an ad. So people are getting a good experience. The searchers are getting a good experience, but the sites are, you know, getting less and less and less traffic, I'd say. Over time, I feel like that's the trend. It's not, I mean, right now it's fine.
Right. Passivity.
Once you get it set up, it's sit back, relax, take it easy, enjoy the free traffic.
I think this is kind of the strong suit of the content site. All these other things we talked about, you know, maybe you can give an edge to dropshipping or give an edge to land and, you know, whatever, but the fact of the matter is, you're getting free traffic sometimes by hundreds of thousands a month.
Yeah.
And so, depending on what you're using that for, it is pretty passive. I mean, we've been kind of doing an audit recently of like all the sites we have and what they make and et cetera. And like, I've been kind of flabbergasted at all these sites you're showing me, Joe, that I didn't even know existed. They're just sitting there, they're making, you know, they're making money and haven't been touched in quite a while.
Yeah, the issue is when you try and grow them, you know, you have to reinvest and then it becomes less passive. So the growth part is not passive and you can sustain the levels that you get to, but to grow again requires more activities. But
right, and that's a whole separate discussion that maybe we'll get into in another video, like our updated outlook strategy for content websites.
Yeah, I feel like people are dropping off the stream here, Mike. Are we getting too boring? What are we...
I don't know.
What's going on? All right.
So I don't know.
We can move on. I think we're getting to the hour mark here. 52 minutes.
Right. So we talked about drop shipping. We talked about land. We talked about affiliate, like ClickBank, paid traffic. And we talked about content sites. And so what do we take away from this?
Well, were we going to talk about Kindle, or we're going to leave that off the table for now?
We'll leave it off the table because we're already approaching the hour. And
I would say So if you want to make $1,000 per month online, the fastest way, I hate to sound like a broken record here, Mike, but I still feel like drop shipping is the, you know, if something happened, God forbid something happened, you know, we had to start tomorrow back from zero or back with $2,000.
We're selling toilets.
Yeah. What would we be doing? Would we make a drop shipping store first thing?
It would be between drop shipping and land. And I think, yeah, I would tend towards drop shipping.
Okay. So first $1,000 per month between drop shipping and land. I guess I don't really have enough experience with the land stuff to comment, but I still feel like drop shipping is probably the easiest way in those beginning stages. And you get to...
Yeah, and I would agree, because with the land, it's like, number one, it's probably going to take longer. The result may be bigger, but also, like, you may screw something up. And now you're sitting on that investment. It's, you know, are you going to make anything on it? Maybe you'll make a little bit on it, but it's going to take longer to flip your money around. Dropshipping, you're not flipping your money around. You're back ground zero. You got to start making a couple $1,000. You don't need to be fronting a whole lot of money. You just start the ads. You sell the turlets. And you know once you sold that turlet, you're going to make $300. You don't have to put anything in. You just pay the supplier. You get the money from the customer. The profit is there. You're done.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that said, everyone, I mean, let's get to the chats. We've talked about some of them a little bit, but Joel Davis says, okay, sweet. Thanks, guys. Just confused me. He's from Australia. Hey, man, you should, I mean, once we see you inside the course, I feel like we should talk about drop shipping in Australia. I mean, that's a viable option. You don't have to do it in the United States. Anyway.
This is true.
I don't know. That's the rest of the chats, unless we get some more in. buildassetsonline.com/playbook if you want to learn how we build our online asset portfolios. And I don't know, should we wait a few more minutes for the chats?
Or should we take it easy?